أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والسماء والطارق وما أدراك ما الطارق النجم الثاقب إن كل نفس لما عليها حافظ فلينظر الإنسان مما خلق خلق من ماء دافق يخرج من بين الصلب والترائب إنه على رجعه لقادر يوم تبلى السرائر فما له من قوة ولا ناصر. صدق الله العظيم. This surah is called Surah At-Tariq because of the word used in the first ayah of the surah, was-samai wat-tariq. Taraqa yatruqu in the Arabic language means to make any type of noise. Any type of noise is taraqa. From the same word, they have driven the word mitraqa, which means hammer. And it's called mitraqa because when you hammer something, you make noise. You hear the noise of hammering it. From the same word, and this tells you the language and the depth of the language, from the same word they have driven the word tariq, and tariqun means road, path. The reason road is called tariq because people keep on stepping on it and you hear the noise of it, of hammering it with their feet. So that's tariq, because you keep on hitting it all the time, there is some noise there. So initially the word meant and means noise, then they would start relating the word with anything that will make the noise. So they use the word for hammer, they use the word for path, for the road, because as you keep on stepping on it, you keep on making that noise of a step, the footsteps. And then they started calling any person that walks on the road tariq. But then they went even deeper and they said that a person who normally travels during the night time will arrive somewhere at night time, he will have to knock the door before he can get into the house, whether if it's his house or someone else's house, because night time normally people will lock the doors. I'm sure many of us may not be able to grab it right at this point, what I'm trying to say, because here in this country we keep our houses locked even daytime. But if we remember, I don't know, some of you have seen different countries, many of us will remember back home, that they normally never lock the doors during the daytime. Daytime, there might be a curtain at the main door, all the women are at home, but they keep the door open. And children, women are coming, going in and out, even to other people's house, to the neighbor's house, they will just go, Assalamu alaikum, and they will just enter. But nighttime, people lock their homes, so therefore, a person traveling at nighttime will have to knock at the door. And therefore, they started calling a night traveler tariq. So now, when in Arabic language they use the word at-tariq, it normally means a person who travels during the nighttime. This is what the word is used nowadays in the language, and nowadays means in the normal Arabic language, classic Arabic language also. So this is exactly what the ayah is referring to. وَالسَّمَاءِ وَالطَّارِقِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I swear by the heaven, and the second thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes off of is الطَّارِقِ, the night traveler, and this refers to the star. That the star that you would see only at night time, and you don't see him during the daytime. And you don't see, we don't see the stars during the daytime. So this ayah, طَارِق means the night comer, the person who would come at the night time, and the ayah is referring to stars. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took all of these stars? We talked about this in detail as we were talking about the previous surah in our last session, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ. Over there, al-buruj are referring to the same thing as al-tariq is referring to into this ayah. So if you now take both ayahs, put them together, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ. I swear by the heaven with big stars. And here, وَالسَّمَاءِ وَالطَّارِقِ. I swear by the heaven and by the stars. So both ayah have almost similar meaning. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, literal translator in translation will be, I swear by the heaven and the night comer. And as we know that now, al-tariq here means the stars. So I swear by the heaven and the stars. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الطَّارِقِ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and thus asks every person reciting the Quran, what would make you know what is a tariq? Then he himself explains what tariq he means in this ayah, النَّجْمُ الثَّاقِبِ. He says, I mean by tariq in this ayah, النَّجْمُ الثَّاقِبِ, the shining star. So the ayah itself is explaining what does tariq mean in this ayah. What does the night comer means in this ayah? وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الطَّارِقُ. What would make you know what is طَارِق? The night traveler comer. And that is النَّجْمُ الثَّاقِبُ. The night comer is النَّجْمُ الثَّاقِبُ, the shining star. نَجْم means any type of star. And ثَاقِب means light. Because ثَقَب really means a hole. ثَقَب means in Arabic language any type of hole, any small hole in the wall, anywhere, that's thaqab. Because the light will always go into any place that's open. We'll find a hole, we'll get into it. But we'll not go beyond that. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created different things in this life and given everything a different type of power. And really all of these things are giving us different lessons of our lives. The light will travel fast, but it will keep on going as long as there is nothing that will stop it. And whenever there is a wall, there is something that will stop it, it will stop there. It goes fast, but it stops also whenever there is something that will stop it. On the other hand, we see the water. Doesn't go that fast. But if there is anything that will stop it, the water will keep on gathering there and trying to make a way around it. You put a big rock, the water will go around the rock. And sometime you will see the water making its way around the rock. So, the water goes slow, but doesn't stop its journey. It keeps on traveling. All of these things are really giving us different lessons of our life, that when to stop, when not to stop, what type of power to use in our lives. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that we have the nur and He created us out of dust, and all of these things, that simply means we have all of these qualities in us. We can use them in the right times and use them when it's the proper time to use any of these powers. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the human being the power that if he starts using his different powers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in him, into the human being, that human being can achieve the most difficult thing in this life and things that we feel are impossible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for human beings because of their efforts. So
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, An-Najm al-Thaqib. I swear by the night comer, and the night comer is the shining star. And then, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking oath for, what is the message? I take oath by these things. And saying what? The message is, In kullu nafsin lamma alayha hafil. Every soul, every human being has a protector over it. Hafiz has two different means. One is someone to protect, will be driven from the word hifaza. Hafaza yahfazu, to protect someone, to guard someone. But there is another meaning of hafiz also, and that is to watch someone. And this ayah can mean both. Every human being has a guardian over it, every human being has a protector over it, and at the same time it means every human being has someone who watches it all the time. مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. This is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in that surah, in that ayah in Surah Qaf. مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ, whatever word he utters by his mouth. إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ, there is someone sitting beside him, which means an angel. رَقِيب. رَقِيب means someone who's watching him. رَاقَب. رَاقَبَ يُرَاقِبُ means to watch someone. At the airport, you see a tower. In Arabic, that tower is called Burj al-Muraqabah. The tower for watching. So, Raqib, Raqaba, means to watch someone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that every human being that has someone sitting beside him all the time, watching each and every action of this human being. So, two things here. One is protection. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the hadith, there are 360 angels with every human being protecting each and every path of the human being. 360 angels with every human being that are protecting this human being day and night from shayateen. If these human beings won't be there, the shayateen are going to break the human being into pieces. This is how bad enemies of human beings they are. So the only power Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them over the human being is the power of whispering. And they do whatever they can through that whispering. Subhanallah, imagine. Just through that whispering, they mislead us so bad, and they're able to drive us so far away from the righteous things. Imagine if they had any power of pulling our hands and forcing us out of masjid or forcing us to do something. Right now, at this time, all the shayateen are doing to us and to any person in the world is they would go and whisper, tell them, you know, there is something that looks better over there. Something is nicer. You get more. You get better. You get it right away. Cash. Over there is only credit. And only through these whispers that we run after the shayateen. Sometimes, some people, they even question that how come shayateen have so much power over us? They don't. They feel that shayateen have a power that if you come to the masjid, they can push you out of the masjid. He doesn't have that power. Or you are leaving your home and you wanted to go to the masjid, he pulls your hand and takes you to the club. He can't do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran al-Kareem, on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call all of these human beings who were listening to the shayateen and will call the shayateen. And will ask these people that, how come you people went away from my path? And people will start looking at shaytan. So shaytan will tell these people, وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرِ. So how come you people are looking at me? Don't give me this bad look now. Shaytan will be telling us, don't give me this bad look. إن الله وعدكم وعد الحق ووعدتكم. Allah had promised you and I promised you. That was all. Allah promised you, you had a Quran, you had the Prophet, and he was telling you everything that you are supposed to do. وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ and I promised you also, but فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ I'm breaking my promise, that's all. All I did was, I promised you. And today I'm telling you up front that I'm breaking my promise. So don't give me this bad look, Allah promised you, you didn't listen to Allah and you listened to me and I'm breaking my promise. Sorry, I can't do nothing now. Then he will continue saying, وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانِ I had no power over you people. إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي Except I invited you, دَعَوْتُكُمْ That's all. I invited you. It was your fault that you listened to me. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنْفُسَكُمْ Don't blame me. Blame yourself. You had two different promises. You had a promise from Allah. You had a promise from me. And now, you all of you people, you decided to follow me. Now you are telling me that I took you to hellfire. I didn't take you to hellfire. I'm not leading you to hellfire. All I did was, I promised you. How come you people didn't listen to Allah? وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانِ I had no power over you. Except all I could do to you people was invite you. I invited you people. فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي It was your fault that you listened to me. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ Don't blame me, blame yourself. مَا أَنَا بِمُسْتَصْرِخِكُمْ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُسْتَصْرِخِي Don't, there is no reason of blaming me and giving me this bad look today because you cannot help me, I cannot help you. مَا أَنَا بِمُسْتَصْرِخِكُمْ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُسْتَصْرِخِي I can't help you, you can't help me. We all together are going into the hellfire. So, Shaitan has no power over us except of this power. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reminding us in the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed 360 angels who are there not to write our deeds. Only these two, Kiram and Kathirin, who are on our both shoulders, right and left, these are the only ones that are writing the deeds. Other than that, 360 angels are protecting us day and night. This is the reason Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the hadith that every morning you should be giving 360 sadaqah. Every morning give 360 sadaqah. But so that we won't be afraid and try to run away that this is too difficult deen, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, تَبَسُّمُكَ فِي وَجْهِ أَخِيكَ صَدَقَةً You smile to your Muslim brother is a sadaqah. You remove some harmful object from your way, from the path, is sadaqah. Any type of help to others is sadaqah. Bring two people together is sadaqah. And you perform two raka'ah salah, that will pay off for 360 sadaqah in the morning. After the sunrise, you perform two raka'ah salah, that will pay off for all of those 360 sadaqahs. So I was mentioning that 360 angels are protecting us day and night. This is Allah, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِن كُلُّ نَفْسٍ لَمَّا عَلَيْهَا حَافِظٍ Every human being has protectors, has angels who are protecting him. And at the same time, حافظ means angels who are watching our deeds, and angels who are day and night writing whatever we do. And day and night doesn't mean, it should be clear, that night time, whatever deeds we perform, we are responsible for it. But after the person goes to sleep, then those angels also stop writing the deeds. Because while the person is sleeping, he is not responsible for anything he would do while he is in that state of sleeping. But as soon as the person wakes up, then they start writing everything. As that ayah of Surah Qaf tells us that the angels not only write our deeds and things that we look at, they even write each and every word that we utter. Once Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam asked one of the jinns, he said, tell me some of the most surprising things you have seen in your life. Because jinns, they change their form and they see different things. So tell me some of the most surprising things you have seen in your life. He said, the most surprising thing I have seen in my life is how fast those angels are writing the deeds of the human beings. And more surprising than this I have seen is how fast some of the human beings keep on dictating to these angels. This is some of the most surprising thing I have seen, that how fast some of the people keep on dictating what to write to the angels, and they keep on saying words there, keep on talking, they might. Some people don't stay quiet even in their sleep. They keep on talking while they're sleeping. So how fast these people are dictating to the angels? He said, this is the most surprising thing I have seen. Very true. If we really go back to a hadith, we will find out one of the most important things in our life is to control our tongue, to learn how to control our tongue. Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, who was a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to advise tabi'een and advise the people saying, تَعَلَّمُ السُّكُوتَ كَمَا تَتَعَلَّمُونَ الْكَلَامِ. Learn how to stay quiet just the way you learn how to speak. He says, even staying quiet is something that you have to learn. How many times we got to a gathering and we sit for a minute and then we feel that now the tongue is jumping inside, something is telling us, open up your mouth, come on, say it. And then we stare, and once we start chatting, 2 hours are just going like that. 3 hours, 4 hours, and the people are sitting and chatting. So this is something that we have to learn also, how to stay quiet, how to control our tongue. Because as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, people with a lot of wealth, they will be judged for each and every penny that they earn. This is why they will be late going to Jannah. Same thing, people with a lot of words will be judged for each and every word that they utter. Therefore, they will be also late going into Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he advised Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in, saying that hold the extra words. Don't spit them out. Don't say something that you don't really have to say. Don't say it if you don't really have to say it. If you feel someone else will fulfill the purpose, or there is no need of saying it, just take one. So hold the extra words that you have in your mind, just hold them there. And the extra wealth, give it away. Here we go for the opposite. Words are free, so let's keep on giving it away. We like everything free. But money, you know, I worked hard to get it, so that one we like to hold it back to ourselves. The greatest title given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after Nabuwah. If we were to think, and I was to ask you, greatest status is of the prophets of Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. What's the level next to Anbiya? What would be that level? As-Siddiqeen. Abu Bakr, As-Siddiq. The person just next to the Prophet of Allah. This is why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran tells us who are the people an'amta alayhim, we always pray, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. Guide us to the path of those who you have blessed. Who are those people? من النبيين والصديقين. Controlling the tongue. Saying the truth. Not just chatting and saying anything that comes on our tongue. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَن يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. Is enough for a person to be a liar that he keeps on writing everything that he hears. Whatever he hears from others, just keep on talking about it. That person, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I, as a prophet of Allah, I say that this person is a liar. Subhanallah, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will put our name in the list of liars, and on the Day of Judgment, we go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and we say, please, I need a sip of a water from this fountain of Kawthar, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will look at us and will say, here, your name is in the list of liar, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La'natullahi ala al-kathibin. It's not a minor thing. La'natullahi ala al-kathibin. Allah's curse on the liars. We take it very minor, very light. You don't really realize that Quran says, La'natullah. Allah's curse on the liars. This is the reason Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, sometime a person recites the Quran, رُبَّ قَارِئٍ لِلْقُرْآنِ وَالْقُرْآنُ يَلْعَنُ. A person recites the Quran, but the Quran keeps on cursing at the people, that person, because the person recites, لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَاذِبِينَ, and he lies himself. So he's cursing himself. And while he's reciting the Quran, he's cursing. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted human beings, wanted the whole world, to trust Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guaranteed us one thing about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If that guarantee wasn't there, then it was difficult for human beings to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to trust Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The guarantee is in Quran, and that is, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. That's the guarantee that he never speaks of his desires. Doesn't just keep on thinking, saying whatever he desires to say, whatever he feels like saying. He watches his words. And not only this. This is of course Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We heard about a Siddiq, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, used to keep a small stone with a sharp edge, a pebble, under his tongue, so that whenever he's about to say something that will hurt him, he will feel the pinch of it and will think, should I say it? Do I have to say it or not? Once Umar radiallahu anhu says, I went to the masjid, I saw Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was pulling his tongue and he was crying. So I said, what's wrong, Ya Khalifa Rasulullah? Who's doing it? As-Siddiq is pulling his tongue. He asked him, why are you doing this? He said, إِنَّ هَذَا أَوْرَدَنِ الْمَوَارِدِ. This tongue has really destroyed me. Makes me say things that I'm not supposed to say. Who's saying this? As-Siddiq. That this tongue has really destroyed me. And here, if you look at ourselves, with all the good deeds that we perform day and night, if you look at our tongues, really this is enough to tell us that almost every good deed that we perform in our life is going out of the window, right out of the window as soon as we start moving our tongue. There is a poem in Arabic language, beautiful poem, that says, that have you seen a person who is very upset with you, but carries a burden off your back, off your shoulder, that your best and the most obedient children will refuse to carry that burden off your shoulder? He takes your sins. And then, that person keeps on doing salah day and night, and fast every Ramadan, and then he ends up giving you all of that fast and all of that salah, that here my brother, take all of my prayers, all of my fast, by backbiting you, by saying things against you. Subhanallah. This is what we end up doing to our deeds. Give it to our people, other people. That here, brother, you're such a nice person. That all of my 30 days fasting here, you take them. And on the day of judgment, the person will go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and feel that he feels that I fasted for the whole of my life and finds none of the fast over there. What happened? All his fast, other people are going to the Jannah through his fast. Because they got it. He gave it to them. This is why when once someone said to Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, that I heard you backbite me. Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi said, I don't love you that much. So that person says, what do you mean? I'm telling you that you backbite me. He says, yes, this is exactly what I'm telling you. I don't love you that much. He said, why? What do you mean? I know you don't love me, you hate me. He said, no. He said, If I was to backbite anyone, I would backbite my own father. If I was to backbite anyone, I would backbite my father, because if I want to give my salah, my fast, all of my ibadah and hard work for deen to any person, I'd rather give it to my father than giving it to anyone else. Once he knew that there is a person who keeps on talking against him, so he sent him a nice gift, saying to him, "Brother, I'm sorry, I can't give you as good gift as you are giving it to me, but here, this is something at least to replace for some of what you are doing for me." They really understood what they are getting by this. And these ahadith were fact to their lives. We get upset why people talk against this. But for those people here, he's really sending him a gift. That, mashallah, you're doing me such a great favor. Yeah, this is a gift from me now. If we look at the muhaddiseen, we always talk, and many people, you know, you talk to many people, they say, we need hadith sahih. Ask the person, what does sahih hadith means? He won't know it. One of the conditions of hadith being sahih, authentic hadith, is that all the people who are narrators of that hadith, everyone in the chain of narrators, never lied in his life. If he was caught even once lying, that person, if he would come into the chain of that narrator of that hadith, that person, that hadith is not sahih anymore, is out. And now, I narrate a hadith and I say, this is hadith sahih. How many times you caught me lying? And now it's still the hadith is sahih. So this was a must condition. If people will see, if muhaddiseen will find out about a person that this person lies, and now if this person will be in the chain of narrator of a hadith, that hadith is out. In other words, look, subhanallah, what type of nation Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam built, and what type of characters Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam developed in the ummah, that you can say, go throughout the whole Sahih al-Bukhari, and every person that you find, every name, there are hundreds of names over there, every name that you find over there, you can tell about that person, he never used to backbite. It wasn't his habit to backbite, to lie, and to cheat people. First condition. Otherwise, his name would not be there in Sahih al-Bukhari. I was amazed to read about Imam Muslim, rahmatullahi alayhi, that people who were around him, they said, the witness for him, he never lied in his life. He never backbited anyone in his life, and he never even talked about anyone in his life. Subhanallah. Never even talked about anyone in his life, good or bad. He would never talk about people. He would say, that's not my business. Let them do whatever they want. Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahmatullahi alayhi, after he changed his life, he is considered to be Amir al-Mu'mineen fil hadith. As Umar radiyallahu anhu is Amir al-Mu'mineen in Khilafah, Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi was Amir al-Mu'mineen fil hadith. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it says about him, since he changed his lifestyle, he was totally on the other direction. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him. That's a long story. I don't want to go into that at this time. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him and he changed his lifestyle. Since that day, he never lied, he never backbited anyone. So those were the type of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for the work of hadith. You may know and heard it somewhere. Once Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi traveled from one country to another country because of a hadith. He knew the hadith, but people who love the hadith, they love to go, whenever you love anything, you go into the depth of it. Those people, they love the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he knew a hadith with five chain of narrators, five people up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He knew that there is another scholar. If I get the hadith from him, then I will have four people between me and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. one person will be less in the chain of narrators. So he decided to travel all the way to that person's country. He went there and he asked about him. They said he's out looking for his horse or donkey. When he went there to look for him, that scholar was trying to bring his donkey back. His clothes are folded and he's pretending there is some hay in his cloth that is going to feed the donkey. So he's calling the donkey that way, that he's showing him that my clothes are folding, which folded means there is something in here. Come back. When he saw him, he asked him, "What are you doing?" He says, "He ran away. He doesn't want to come back to me, so I'm trying to get him back through this." He left him and went back all the way back to his home, right away, without getting the hadith from him. He said, "If this person is cheating the animal, I cannot accept the hadith from him. If he's cheating the animal, I won't accept the hadith from him." Simple words, that from there on, he would take every hadith where his name would come in, will be out of Sahih al-Bukhari. So this is the type of people they were. And this is when we say hadith sahih. Subhanallah. If that chain of narrators was to continue up to our days, our children will never get a hadith sahih. Because as soon as the phone rings, all the hadith are not authentic anymore, because you tell your children, "Go and tell them I'm not home." There were scholars. There were, of course, alhamdulillah, these people were so honest to Islam and to Muslims and to Allah and to the deen of Allah. There were scholars who called their own parents, their father, saying something that was not a fact. And they would go and tell the other muhaddithin, "Don't accept the hadith from my father. Don't accept the hadith from my father, because I have seen him saying something that wasn't a fact." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, "In kullu nafsin lamma 'alayha hafiz." Every person has something, someone watching him all the time. These angels are always watching. And as I said, that jinn said to Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, "The most surprising thing I have seen in my life is how fast the people are dictating to the angels what to write." فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّ خُلِقَ. Every human being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is advising now. فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ. Every human being should watch and should think, should ponder into, مِمَّ خُلِقَ. What is he created out of? What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create us from? Then he himself replies, خُلِقَ مِمَّا إِنْ دَافِقَ. Oh human being, think about yourself. So many angels protecting you. So much respect you have. So many things created just for you. And you know who you were? Who you are? What are you created out of? You are created from gushing water. You are created from gushing water. Some drops that would fly out of a human being's body. Dirty drops that if they would touch the cloth, we will try to wash the cloth and we'll keep them away from everything else. As soon as the drops come out, the ghusl becomes fard on the person and he has to take a shower. This is how unclean they are. And this is what we all created out of. This is the fact that Allah is reminding us in Quran al-Kareem. خُلِقَ بِمَّاءٍ دَافِقٍ. Created out of gushing water. يَخْرُجُ مِنْ بَيْنِ الصُّلْبِ وَالتَّرَائِبِ. That comes from the body, and from which part of the body? From the back and the ribs. That water that comes from the backs and the ribs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after reminding us this fact, he says, إِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَجْعِهِ لَقَادِرٍ. Then surely he has the power to bring the human being back into life after death. Subhanallah, imagine. People who don't believe in the life after death, how simply Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining the point to them. You give someone a glass of water. That here, this is a glass of water. Make an aeroplane out of it. Make an aeroplane out of this water. I won't give you nothing else to use. all you have is just this glass of water. You have to make an aeroplane out of this water. And of course, I know it's impossible. The person won't do it. But this person had the technology. He took the water and started doing things with it. And in no time, I saw the aeroplane. Now I feel that I was really put down. And I was insulted. So what I do is, I say, okay, let me open the aeroplane and back into pieces. Take the tires out. Take the doors out. Take the windows out. Take the lights, put them on the side. And now throw everything on the sides. All the, now again, the whole aeroplane is back into pieces. And now I tell this person, I know you were able to make it from the water for the first time, but I know you can't put it back together. I know you can't put it back together. He says, can you use your mind? Do you have a brain? If I made it out of this water that you gave me in a glass, and I made the whole aeroplane out of just that water that was in the glass in front of your eyes, and you know it. And now you're telling me, after you broke it into pieces, you're telling me I can't put the pieces back together? And he says, he's explaining it to us. And we say, oh, you know, he's saying it, this is why he's not putting it together. He's saying it just because, I know you can't do it. Just like we would do it with children. Oh, I know you can't do it. I know you don't know it. Oh, you know how to say Bismillah? You tell the children, say Bismillah, Bismillah. And they will say, oh, he doesn't know how to say it. So same thing these kuffar are doing, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created the whole human being from one drop, and now we say, oh, you know, after you break him into pieces, you break him, not me. He breaks the human being into pieces, now we tell him, oh, now you can't put the pieces back together. Subhanallah. Innahu ala raj'ihi laqadir. How nicely, how simply he's explaining it to us. There can't be any better way of explaining it. إِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَجْعِهِ لَقَادِرٌ. He created us from a drop. He says, I can bring you back anytime. Because now, I made you out of a drop of water, not a glass of water. Just a drop of water. So I can bring you back. I can, after death, and after you get broken into pieces, which means dust, you become a dust. إِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَجْعِهِ لَقَادِرٌ. I can bring you back into the life. يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرُ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that, you know when I will bring you back? Today you keep on saying that I can't. And this is why I'm not bringing you people back together. As Kuffar of Quraysh, they used to say, if Allah can bring people back together, and He can bring them back to life, we doubt it. Because our forefathers were promised the same thing. They are not back to life. Yes. So that was the excuse they would use. That, you know, the same thing was told to our forefathers. And they are not back to life. So same thing, we won't be back to life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, still is not the time. يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرُ. I will bring you back to life that day. The day when the hidden things of the heart will be tested. When whatever you carry in your heart will be put to a test. يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرُ. Sarair, sarira. Sarira means something hidden, a secret. The day when the secrets will be tested for our secrets that we carry in our hearts. فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَلَا نَاصِرٍ. He says, that day is the day that I will bring you to life. That فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَلَا نَاصِرٍ. You will have no power that day. You will have no helper that day. No power, no helper. This is what we use in this life. A person, if we are to think about ourselves, that God forbid something happens to us, we can't walk, we can't talk, we can't do nothing for ourselves. So what is it that we should do? At this time, we depend on our power. But if we don't have the power, we feel, okay, I have my wife, I have my mother, they can help me. They help me going to the bathroom, they help me preparing the food. So we need either the power or we need the helper. A person without any power and without any helper, we know that that person can do nothing in this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, I'll bring you back to the life, the day, مَا لَهُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَلَا نَاصِرٍ, when you will have no power and no helper. Then I will ask you, what do you think about it now? وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجْعِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I swear by the sky, ذَاتِ الرَّجْعِ,
Raja'a means to come back. Rujur, coming back. Wassama'i dhatir raja. I swear by the skies that keep on running again and again. This is what raja means, that one after another. Rujur, rains once, comes back and rains again. And then goes and then comes back and rains again. So this is what raja means, that skies, I swear by the skies, who keep on running again and again.
وَالْأَرْضِ ذَاتِ الصَّدَرِ.
And I swear by the earth that it splits. صَدَعَ means فَصْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ. Go and say it openly. صَدَعَ means to open up something. I swear by the earth that opens up when the plants, small plants are coming out of the earth and they break the earth. We feel that it's too strong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah, is telling us the strength of it. He says, look, although it carries the mountains, but when he wants a small plant to come out of the ground, you'll see a very small, minute plant coming from the ground, something that you can break with your fingers, but it broke the ground and came out. You see the wheat coming in the middle of the road? What gave that wheat the power to break the road and come out of it? Well, وَالْأَرْضِ ذَاتِ الصَّدْعِ. Something is reminding us. Allah is reminding us that look at my power, look, don't look at these things. He says, don't look at the earth, everything you may make from the ground. Everything that we are making in this life is from the ground. Houses, castles, cars, whatever we have, furniture, from the ground. He says, وَالْأَرْضِ ذَاتِ الصَّدْعِ. See how I split the earth just by that small wheat, by a small plant.
إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ.
This is a final word.
إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ.
This is the final word. وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزْلِ. This is not a joke.
إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا.
They are making their plans. وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا. But I am making my plan. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ. They make their plans. Allah is making His plan. Believe me, if their plans would work, me and you would not be sitting here today. This is only because Allah's plan is working. Otherwise, we won't sit over here. We won't have this place. The plans are such that you can't have these places. You can't have this book. This is only Allah's plan that's keeping it there and keeping us here. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا. They are making their plans. But وَكِيدُ كَيْدًا. I'm making my plans also. فَمَهِّلِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Keep on giving some chance to the disbelievers. أَمْهِلْهُمْ رُوَيْدًا. I'm giving them some chance. Giving them a little chance. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيُمْلِي لِلظَّالِمِ. Allah keeps on giving chance to the disbeliever and to a wrongdoer. Why? حَتَّى إِذَا أَخَذَهُ لَمْ يُفْلِتْ. Because once he will haul him into the punishment, then that person will have no way to run away from the punishment. That's it. He will get it for once. And that will be it. He will never come out of it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these ayahs is reminding us of His power. He's reminding us of the fact of these life, of this life, earth, heaven, all of these things. Subhanallah. We feel that these things are very powerful, very strong. We can use them, we can benefit from them. But the real power if we need is the power to get the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there will be a day that we will have no power, we will have no helper. And that time we will only need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help, and we will only get the power from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that will be through the deeds that we perform in our life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to Sirat al-Mustaqim and give all of us tawfiq to follow the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa lisa'iril muslimina wal muslimat wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.